Tired of paying skyrocketing prices at the pump? Well, you bet. You know, your best bet might be to buy an AFV. That's an alternative fuel vehicle. Today is National AFV Day. What does that mean? That means a car show with a difference is playing in 54 cities around the U.S., showcasing the latest in cars that run on alternative fuels. Cars that run on ethanol from corn, propane, natural gas, biodiesel, electricity. They're all vying for the attention of car manufacturers and drivers, and this hour we're going to give it your attention and ours attention too. We're going to talk about alternative fuel vehicle technology. What's already on the streets and what could we be seeing in the future? And to tell us where to look and what to look at is Al Ebrin. He's Executive Director of the National Alternative Fuels Training Consortium at West Virginia University. He's out there in California laughing at those gas prices, probably shaking his head at them, too, and he joins us on the line. Welcome, Mr. Ebrin.
It's good to be here today.
Are you laughing or shaking your head at those prices?
I'm shaking my head because I'm having to pay them right now.
I'll bet. Why the idea for this AFV Day?
Well, National AFV Day was designed by our organization, the National Alternative Fuels Training Consortium, to showcase these new technologies, these alternative fuel vehicles and advanced technologies all across the country, and to basically let consumers and fleet managers, government officials, and others know that these choices are available, and some of them are available now.
Well, we've seen, you know, we've seen cars like the hybrid cars. Would you call them AFV vehicles also?
Well, it depends on the pure definition of an alternative fuel vehicle is one that does not run on a petroleum product. And we like to look at, there's a complement of vehicles out here, of alternative fuel vehicles, which basically are domestically produced, and you introduce some of those in your intro. And then we have advanced technology vehicles, which are the hybrids, and they're more fuel efficient. The hybrids can double the gas mileage of their gasoline counterparts. And then we're going to be moving in the future, probably 10 or so years from now, into the futuristic and next generation vehicles of hydrogen and fuel cell vehicles.
1-800-989-8255 is our number. If I were to go out to one of these 54 sites in 31 states today, what would I see?
Well, just like the one that I'm attending here in Palm Desert, California, there are vehicles here. There are hybrids. There are alternative fuels. You can actually,
are they exotic cars? Or are they cars you can get now, or cars that we have to wait for in the future?
No, the hybrid cars are here now. Now there are only a few models, but Toyota has the Prius, which was the Motor Trend Car of the Year this year. They're coming out with two additional models late this year and next year. Honda has the Civic. General Motors has a pickup truck. These are all vehicles that you can get now. Now, because these vehicles are in such great demand, there is a waiting list to get them, so that should tell everybody that there is a demand for these vehicles.
But they're making so few of them, aren't they? I mean, they make a million cars of one model, but then they're only making, 40,000 Priuses?
I think they've upped their production. They're going to make a few hundred thousand of the Priuses. Unfortunately, these are new vehicles, and I think the automobile manufacturers are just being cautious so that they can service these, because these are different vehicles that require different skills from the technicians.
I guess the good news is, the good news is that some of the bigger cars are now coming out this year in hybrid models, because these big SUVs are what's really, they're selling like the proverbial hotcakes.
Yes.
But some of them are now, in the smaller SUV models are coming out in hybrids?
That is correct. Toyota, as I said, has a couple coming out. And what's going to be exciting in a few years, General Motors is going to have, for example, the Tahoes that will be hybrid vehicles. And that's where we can make a difference in our dependency on foreign oil.
Now, do you have to, if you're now, let's say you're a Toyota dealer and you're selling hybrids, and the hybrids are now have to be repaired, do you have to have special training? And where do you, can a regular car mechanic who is not working for the automaker, can he get special training to train these to service these cars?
Yes, I'm glad you asked that. Of course, dealer technicians, they get training from the dealership themselves. However, our organization develops curricula, and we also develop training, and we disseminate this training all over the country at 23 national training centers from California to Connecticut. And we provide training on all of these different types of alt-fuel vehicles, and also we're getting into the hybrid and hydrogen fuel cell area as well. So there is training available, and you certainly can contact us, and we can provide training and workshops to help people get into these new technologies.
1-800-989-8255 is our number. Let's go to John in San Francisco. Hi, John.
Hi there, Ira. Thank you. This is a great concept for the show. And I have a question for your guest about retrofits. And two things that have occurred to me. One is, could a vehicle, say, like a Ford Explorer, which I have an old one, be retrofitted to work as a hybrid vehicle? Are there parts that can be put together? And then is there a way to retrofit the carburetors or whatever so that they could use some of the biofuels or something like that, either in a regular combustion engine or in a Wankel engine or something like that?
Yes. This industry started with conversions. And if you really want to look at it, all of the automobile manufactured models are conversions in and of themselves. There are some conversion firms still left out there that can convert. They're primarily converting to propane and natural gas. But also you can convert your car. It would not be a huge task, but you would have to know what you're doing to convert to be able to run on ethanol, for example. And in the heavy-duty market, biodiesel, there requires no conversion there. It's just you have to be careful on a couple of things. So it would be difficult to convert to a hybrid vehicle, for example, but you could convert it to a natural gas or propane vehicle.
Or hydrogen.
Or hydrogen, yes. Yeah, when that technology gets here, yes.
Now, we have a gentleman, a scientist we've been talking to over the years named Roy McAllister out in Arizona. Do you know Roy?
No, I don't.
He's with the American Hydrogen Association out in Arizona. And first time we met him years ago, we did a remote from Arizona, and he drove up in his red Chevy pickup, must have been 20-year-old pickup with a fiberglass tank of hydrogen behind it, sitting in the bed there. And he showed us how he just hooked it up to his carburetor.
Sure. We have a vehicle right outside that has been converted that it can run off of natural gas and hydrogen. So, yes, it can be done.
Mm-hmm. Whatever happened to the electric car? That doesn't seem to be making it now that the hybrids are out.
Well, the electric cars have always been niche market. And the good thing about the electric cars is that technology helped transition us into the hybrid technology. Without that research that was done for the electric cars, you would not have the hybrid cars now. And even some of the next generation electric drive vehicles that we're going to move into. So the electric vehicles have provided a very important role in where we're going in the future. And there's also currently electric neighborhood, they're called neighborhood electric vehicles, that are very niche markets, 25 miles per hour. And right where I'm at in Palm Desert is a huge retirement community. There are tens of thousands of them out here being used.
Mm. Let's go to Willie in Berkeley. Hi, Willie.
Oh, hi.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, well, I just bought a 2001 Jetta with diesel, and I met somebody who helped me convert it to run on straight vegetable oil. And what we did was we just put a filter in there to make sure that the fuel was clean when it went into the burner.
What kind of oil is it running on?
Well, it right now it's running on olive oil. That somebody has figured out how to get a hold of from, I guess, somewhere in Napa Valley or something. They have access to some bulk olive oil that's left over from the production process of the olive oil. And
so it's not your extra virgin?
Well, I haven't tested it. It doesn't smell bad when you burn it, which is good, and apparently has the emissions are better than diesel. And but my question was, is somebody sort of told me that diesels were partly originally invented to help farm equipment run, and, you know, before diesel fuels were available widely, you know, maybe 80 years ago, that a farmer could grow whatever crop and maybe create a fuel for themselves. I mean, is that, what are some of the reasons that a diesel can run on a vegetable oil?
Al, can you answer that?
Well, you know, the diesel running vehicles can be converted to run on biodiesel, and it doesn't take much to do it. There's a splash blend of about 20% biodiesel and 80% diesel, and these cars they do run a lot environmentally friendly, as the gentleman just said. So this can be done. The only thing that you have to be careful with biodiesel is your rubber gaskets and those kind of things. Sometimes they're not friendly toward the biodiesel. Mm-hmm. But you know, the biodiesel has started. It's the fastest growing alternative fuel in America, and it's primarily used in the heavy duty market, in buses and garbage trucks and those kind of things. And there are many, like school buses in where I live in West Virginia are running off of biodiesel.
You can use recycled vegetable oil from the from French fry fryers, right?
That is correct. And when they burn this and it goes down the road, it actually smells like French fries.
Now, I saw a press release from the Navy, of all places, and I didn't know that the Navy is the world's biggest user of diesel fuel.
I would think they would be.
And they said they're going to use a major percentage of biodiesel now and in their naval bases and other places. So out there in California, I think was mentioned, some of the naval bases out there where they're going to be putting that biodiesel to work.
Well, you know, the military is very active in these alternative fuels. There are federal requirements asking all the federal agencies to do so, but some take a more proactive role than others. And we've talked to a lot of the military people, and we've done a lot of training for the military people who have come in our different classes and gotten training in on natural gas, biodiesel, and many of those fuels. So they're very proactive, and they're also doing a lot of research, in the futuristic things for the hybrids and the fuel cells.
Mm-hmm. Al, if people want to know more about where to learn about this, and you have a website, right?
Yes, sir. Our regular website is www.naftc.wvu.edu.
Well, if you forget that, we'll have it up on our website at Science Friday. Charles has it up. So, and you're hoping that enough people will come out and rejuvenate alternative fuel vehicles.
We certainly do. We're projecting way over 20,000 people to directly attend these events, and we'll probably have somewhere in the neighborhood of 200,000+ that will hear it from different types of media that are at all of these sources. And, of course, your program is going to get us out to a lot of people as well.
Well, we got 1.5 million listeners, so I think...
Well, there's 1.5 million people right there.
We've sort of upped the number of listeners you have for AFEs.
Well, we appreciate it.
And you can make this an annual event?
We've done this twice, and we've made it every other year. We did
Great.
It in 2002, and the demand was so great for us to do it again. It's sort of the Earth Day of alternative fuel vehicle activities.
Well,
and it is the largest alternative fuel event that's ever been done in this country.
Well, good luck to you, and we'll talk to you next year maybe. Al Lieberman is Executive Director of the National Alternative Fuels Training Consortium at West Virginia University, talking about the National AFV Day today. You can still get in on it and visit 54 sites in 31 states. Thanks for joining us, Al.
Thank you very much.
We're going to take a short break and talk about the Lewis and Clark expedition. You didn't know that they brought back hundreds of plants with them. They're a fascinating history about what happened to those plants and the botany behind them. So stay with us. We'll be right back.